Christmas in the Underworld was not my idea. We're talking Percy Jackson, A Half-Blood Christmas. Hit it. It was 2020. COVID-19 had us all sheltering in place, and Rick Riordan wrote a short Christmas story for an Italian newspaper. I'm your host, Little Number One, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Joining me is the host of Totally Rad Christmas, all-star Jerry D. What's up?
Hey, I'm an all-star on my own show. How's it going?
Good.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. So we're doing a bonus episode today, and we're going to be covering one of my favorite book series. And I think it's one of your favorite book series, but we're going to be talking about Percy Jackson today. Now, what do you remember about Percy Jackson, or like, what's your experience or history with it?
I read the books. I've seen all the movies. I've watched the show.
Okay. And out of all those, which one's your favorite?
The show, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. The books are my favorite, but then I like the show afterwards. Way better than the movies.
Yeah, nothing, definitely.
Nothing against the movies. They were okay at the time, but yeah, aging up the characters for me just didn't quite do it.
Terrible.
The second one is really bad.
No offense to the actors, though.
No, the actors did a good job. I like Logan Lerman. He's great in other things. Alexandra Daddario's fantastic. I mean, just everybody in it, a really good actor. Sean Bean, you know. But
wait, who's Sean Bean?
Zeus.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, they were too old. To be these 12-year-old kids, you know, and I know they aged them up, but it didn't quite work as well. The thing about Percy Jackson is that it works best when it's like Harry Potter, you know, these younger kids learning and growing.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. I remember reading these books because they came out in 2005. So I didn't read it then. But when I was engaged to your mom, we would read the books and usually she'd fall asleep and then I'd just go home. But you know, we kind of made it a whole point to read the whole series together. And so we did. And then we read, I believe, the other series together after that, the second one, The Heroes of Olympus, although I don't think she remembers that one very much. But like, it was, we would read a few chapters every night, you know, and that was like how we kind of ended our date. And mostly it was because she was teaching it. So I have like very fond memories about Percy Jackson, even though, you know, I'm not really like the right age to be reading him, but... It was cool. He was this demigod, and I've always loved Greek mythology and Roman mythology. They were like some of my favorites growing up. And so, you know, he was a demigod and he could like fight monsters, which is some of my favorite things. And I mean, it was just, yeah, it was really great.
Okay. My favorite book is The Last Olympian.
Oh, mine too. It's so good. When he takes a dip in the river Styx and he's like all invincible and he just like goes through all those like zombie warriors of Hades. And then he like cuts down just all the monsters defending Olympus. I mean, it's like, yeah, good stuff. So how did you start reading them?
Well, the first time I read it was in GT. I think it was like in second or first grade. We were reading like the graphic novel of The Lightning Thief. Mm. That's technically when I started. But I never really actually like read the real books or liked it that much until I started reading it with you.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. Yeah. Who's your favorite character?
Either Percy or Nico.
Nico? Oh, man. That kid. Creepy. No, of course, Percy's my favorite. I love him and Annabeth together. Or what? Persabeth?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like how he doesn't really know what's going on, but he tries his best no matter what. I mean, in that sense, he's a lot like Harry Potter, who, you know, Harry's like, I don't know magic. I'm just going to shove my wand up this cave troll's nose, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
There's also parts that where, like, it's really noticeable that they're different, mm-hmm. especially when they both find out that there's a prophecy that they both have to die. Like, Harry reacts, like, I don't know, like, I don't know how to describe it, but he reacts, like, scared and worried and, you know, stuff like that, where Percy puts it aside and just asks about other stuff and acts like he really doesn't care.
That's a good point. I mean, I don't know if I was told, like, hey, you got to save the world, but you're going to die, I'd be like, well, that stinks.
Yeah, that's pretty much his reaction.
Yeah.
He's not, like, Harry is, like, really dramatic with it.
Drama Queen Harry.
Yeah, Drama Queen Harry. And Percy, he's more calm with it, and he doesn't really care much about that.
He's like, another day, another dollar.
He's like, whatever.
Yeah, he's like, it's a living. I got to do it.
Yeah, he literally says, if I die, I die. I can't worry about that, right? What he says.
Yeah. But, man, that's deep. And here I thought we were just going to be talking about Christmas. But yeah, no, I love the series. It's fun. I love how he and Annabeth slowly like each other. And, you know, she gets kidnapped in the third book. And then he's like, I got to save her. And they're like, no, we have this other thing we really need to focus on. He's like, no, I got to save Annabeth. And
yeah,
even though he's not supposed to be on the quest, he goes anyway because he has to save, you know, his friend. And
yeah.
And then, like, in the fourth book, they're doing lots of missions together. And then, like, she kisses him when he tells her to get out.
That was probably my favorite chapter of the book.
Yeah.
And when Annabeth is, like, jealous of Rachel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So good.
My favorite part.
Because then that happens later on, too. In the fifth book, and she's like super jealous, you know. She's like, your friends, I guess I'm gonna go rescue your friend, you know. It's like, oh, man.
Sarcastic, jealous.
Yeah. And it says she just looks sad and devastated as she's doing this. It's like, wow.
We should have added a warning, spoilers at the beginning of the episode.
Nah, if they haven't read it by now, I mean, the first one came out in 2005. That's like almost 20 years ago. And so I think, if you know, it's okay. Plus, everybody knows my show is all about spoilers anyway. So they adapted, they did the movie. You and I watched the movies.
Multiple times.
Yes.
The first two movies weren't the best. There were some scenes that were really good. Especially the Lotus Casino scene in the first movie.
Oh, I did like that one better. Yeah.
That scene was like the best scene. If they had, like, copied that exact scene in the show would have been a complete 10 out of 10. Right now, I say the show is a 9 out of 10.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. So they adapted the movies, or they adapted the books, and how do I say that? So I don't know. I lost my trail of thought. Your turn.
Okay. I'm going to leave that in. That's hilarious. I know what you're saying. They released it as movies. Of course, they completely changed it. There's no, like, orange Camp Half-Blood t-shirts. Instead, they're, like, all in Greek and Roman armor, like hoplite style armor. You know, they have, like, the plumes on their helmets and everything.
Then the show comes out and it beats it, like, 15 times. Times 15. They beat it 10 out of 10.
Well, it was, the show was, of course, was more faithful to the book. I think part of that was because they got Chris Columbus, who directed, like, Home Alone. He directed the first two Harry Potter movies. They got him to direct the first movie, and I don't know if he was just like, well, I don't want to copy. It is kind of close to Harry Potter. I don't want to seem like it's too close. So he aged up the students. And because of that, it kind of lost some of its edge, I think. I think what made it really interesting, the book, was that they're all young kids, you know, they're trying to figure it out. That's why it is kind of like Harry Potter, why we can relate to it, especially like when we were in middle school and remembering, like, not knowing what's happening to ourselves and we're already like changing and stuff. And now like he's actually not just changing. He's finding out. He's like, oh, I'm also like,
he finds out he's a demigod. Immortal.
Yeah, exactly. Like my dad's who? Poseidon? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what makes it more interesting. And then now they made him like 16, 17. And of course, like I said, they did great jobs. You can't fault the actors, but the scripts weren't as good. They didn't quite delve into the mythology that much. And so
the first movies?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They made the movies 3 years apart. Mm-hmm. So they were even older. They were all like, well, Logan Lerman, he was 16 when they did the first one, I think. I think he was 16. Or that's what I'm pretty sure he's 16. I'm not sure. But so like he was like 19.
Mm-hmm.
For the second one.
Yeah. So it's like, it kind of lost a little bit of its specialness, I guess. Some of the magic.
It's still fun to watch. And yeah. I know it's like some of my friends who are also big Percy Jackson fans, they call them like the Peter Johnson movies. Other weird stuff.
That's such a middle school thing to do. I love it. Which, okay. By the way, in the Disney Plus series that just came out of The Lightning Thief. So they adapted it into what? Was it 8 episodes?
Eight
full episodes. Just the first book. So it was really great. But they got Jason Mantzoukas, who's like one of my favorite actors, one of my favorite comedians. He's has his own podcast that's amazing.
They got him to play Dionysus.
They got him to play Mr. D, Dionysus. Of course, one of the gods of wine and fertility and other things in Greek mythology, but he's been punished and sent to watch over this camp Half-Blood. It's basically a camp to train these demigods that they're called Half-Bloods.
It's the only safe place on Earth for
them. It's the only safe place they can train. He has basically the camp like director. He hates it there. And Jason Mantzoukas played it perfect. Peter
Johnson.
Yeah,
he did really, really good. Yeah, he did really, really, really good.
Yeah, and I loved him, like, on Parks and Rec. I loved him in, of course, The League, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Everything he's been in, he's hilarious. So the show was an adaptation of the first book, like we mentioned. And they actually used book titles for the episode
chapter names. Chapter names.
The book chapter names, right, of the episode names. And it was fun. You know, I accidentally... What is it?
I accidentally vaporized my pre-algebra teacher.
Pre-algebra teacher.
That actually sounds really, really cool. I mean, I wouldn't like to do that to my pre-algebra teacher. She's really nice, but...
So she's not a fury?
No. No. No, I don't think she would be.
Okay, good. Yeah, so basically the story of Percy Jackson, and we'll break it down real quick before we get into the Christmas of it all, which is what we're about to do, because I want this to be a little bit of a shorter episode since it is Super Bowl Sunday and I want to get to watching the Super Bowl. So Percy Jackson was born to Sally Jackson and the Greek Poseidon. God Poseidon, who's a god of, you know, the oceans, earth shaker, storm bringer, all the fun stuff that they,
yeah,
all the epithets that they give him.
All the titles.
Right, right. And he discovers that Poseidon is his dad, or he discovers that he's part god, and he is on a quest essentially to recover Zeus's missing lightning bolt. Someone has stolen it. Everyone is accusing him because he wasn't supposed to be born. There was a pact that the big three, that's Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades, that they made that they would not have any more children after World War II, because it was basically... In the story, Riordan says that a lot of the world's events happen due to conflicts with demigod children, demigod descendants and offspring. And so they made a pact never to have any more kids. So he wasn't even supposed to be born. And the fact that he was kind of puts the blame on him, or suspicion on him, I should say, for stealing Zeus's master bolt, this lightning bolt. And so he goes across country with his friend Annabeth and Grover, who's a satyr. And they have to track down the bolt.
And the entire time, Grover is like third wheeling.
Yeah. Well, so everybody knows. Well, okay, if you don't know, Annabeth is a daughter of Athena. She's very wise. She's incredibly intelligent. Doesn't know a lot about pop culture, but...
No.
Yeah. And Grover was sent to look out for Percy originally before they realized who his godly parent was. They just knew that he was a demigod, but they didn't know who. And
well, Chiron,
so he's like his protector.
Well, Chiron and Grover had their suspicions on who his godly parent was. They just weren't like they just weren't sure if it was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff.
And then, of course, in a game of capture the flag, once he's at camp, he discovers that Poseidon claims him. What's called claiming, and yeah. So he is officially labeled the son of Poseidon. And so it's up to him to end this upcoming war between Poseidon and Zeus, because Zeus, of course, thinks that Percy stole the Master Bolt. And so that's like the series in a nutshell. In the end, he fights Ares, who has been kind of mind controlled and hoodwinked by the Titan Cronos, Zeus and Poseidon and Hades' father, who is trying to return. He has been cut into a million pieces and banished to Tartarus, and his essence is reforming. He's trying to usurp Zeus and return his rule. And so it's just like they say in the book Dune, plans within plans within plans. And it's just a cool way to get through it. Now, today we're going to be talking about two short stories. One of them is Percy Jackson and the Sword of Hades. And the other one is, the official name is Un Natale Mezzo Sangue, which is A Half-Blood Christmas. And that one came a little bit later. So I'm going to set the mood here.
So in the Sword of Hades, there's not much like Christmassy right. things, but except for like the time. It's like, my opinion, it's like the last week mm-hmm. before Christmas break. From what I've read, I think that's what it is. And the only really line that mentions Christmas is Christmas in the Underworld was not
right.
my idea.
Yeah, essentially. So this kind of takes place around Battle of the Labyrinth. It's somewhere between Battle of the Labyrinth and The Last Olympian. But Percy and Thalia Grace, who is another child that wasn't supposed to be born. She's the daughter of Zeus.
Who's it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Demigod
right.
daughter
and
of Zeus.
And Nico D'Angelo, who is a son of Hades, who was actually born before the pact, but Hades was fearful of his future. And so because of that, he hid him away. And so, long story short, he's in the modern world.
He's supposed to be like 84 years old
yeah,
or something like that.
Technically,
or
but he was in the Lotus Casino where time passes differently. And so,
yeah. So he aged like about 2
yeah,
days.
Yeah, exactly. So all this happens. These three kids that really aren't supposed to exist and are kind of have a shaky relationship have to come together to find a Sword of Hades.
Yeah.
And Hades actually doesn't have his sword. His symbol of power, this new weapon, is his Helm of Darkness. But now it turns out
Persephone, Hades'
wife,
Zeus'
daughter,
wife.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she basically just asks them to find it because it was stolen, but she did not like create it or make the sword with Hades' permission or with any of the gods' permission.
Right. It turns out that they try to make it secretly to prepare for the upcoming war with Cronos. But of course, if any of the other gods find out, that would be like a huge no-no, because that's an extra symbol of power, an extra powerful weapon, and, you know, bad things could happen. Yeah. So she tasks the three with tracking it down. She gives them like a special carnation that loses its petals. And once all the petals have fallen off, then they'll know that it's made it to the world. And what's special about this sword is it's not just a regular sword, but it has like a key in the hilt that can like open the gates to the underworld, essentially.
Yeah.
So they track it down. They run into like battlefield spirits. One of them scratches Percy.
So if you read like the House of Hades and didn't understand like who Bob was or like the origin of Bob, you might want to read that like this book or short story. It'll give you some advice on
it.
Like,
does explain,
Bob.
Yeah. So, and we'll get there. So they're tracking it down. They run into Melanoe, who is the Greek goddess of ghosts, and they end up defeating her. But as they're going through her cave to return to the the upper world, as they're tracking down this demigod that stole this sword, they run into the Titan Iapetus. He's one of Cronus's fiercest generals. He's the father of Atlas, who holds up the world. And
his name means the piercer.
And they get into a fight, and Percy uses his water controlling powers to spill some of the river Lethe on him, and it makes him forget everything about himself.
And Percy, when Bob asks, well, when whatever the Titan's name was, when he asks Percy, "Hello, who am I?" Percy answers, "You're my friend. You're Bob."
Bob, right? And so he heals Percy's wounds, and they kind of fight Ethan, or he fights Ethan Nakamura, and just real quickly, Ethan gets away, but they're able to recover the sword and return it to Persephone, who summons Hades, and Hades, turns out, did not want this sword to be, he didn't commission the sword, he didn't want it to exist, it was something that Persephone herself did kind of secretly. So, it's a big, big woo.
Yeah.
But, right.
Big no-no.
But then Thalia and Percy go and have hamburgers and return, presumably to Christmas.
Cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburgers, hamburgers, same thing. Cheeseburger, cheeseburger. Yeah. Never mind. You. Saturday Night Live. Right. So that's the Sword of Hades. Just a little short story was found in the Demigod Files. You can find it there. The one I really want to talk about today is A Half-Blood Christmas. That's the one that I'm really excited about.
The characters that it shows are Nico, Percy, and there's some gods, like there's some mention, and then there's some that are
right,
actually
right.
There.
So in this story, it's super quick. It's Christmas time. Percy asks Nico's help to find Annabeth the perfect gift. So this, of course, they're dating. Nico says that she's your girlfriend. So yeah. At this, that means that it's after the last Olympian, for sure.
I'm pretty sure it's like before the Lost Hero, but after, because they just said that they were like dating for like four or a couple. It was either four or like a couple. I don't remember, but for a couple months, after the big underwater kiss in the Last Olympian. don't ever do that again.
I'm a dad. It's my job to embarrass you.
So he asked, what was I saying? I lost my train of thought. I'm pretty sure it's after the Last Olympian, but before the Lost Hero. I think they have Christmas with Percy, and then he disappears.
Right.
I think
so
that's how
he's looking for the perfect gift, and Nico takes him to Tuscany because you'll find something for sure in Tuscany. Why wouldn't you? Or not Tuscany, Florence. Why did I say Tuscany? That's Tuscany. He takes him to Florence because why not go to Florence? And so Nico takes him to this little shop. And as they enter the shop, before we get into it, hold on, because all this is happening during 2020. So this was like smack in the middle of the pandemic. They mentioned the Nico and Percy are wearing masks because even though demigods can't get sick.
Yeah, this could have also happened after right. All the books too. Opinion on it earlier when I was talking about like when it was.
I gotcha. Well, yeah. So it's a little bit, you know, nebulous when it occurs. However, it was written during 2020. It was released and it was written in Italian, especially for La Repubblica, which is like a very popular newspaper over there. Came out December 18th, 2020. And so even though demigods themselves can't get COVID, they can spread it. They can still be carriers and spread the germs to humans and their loved ones. So they're still wearing masks. And so this was kind of written to, I don't know, lighten the times, I suppose, because, you know, that was a crazy, strange, dark year.
So you're saying that if they went to Camp Half-Blood, that they wouldn't have to wear masks?
Right.
Oh, that's cool.
So Nico takes Percy in Florence, not Tuscany, sorry, my mistake. And he takes him to this little shop. And Percy sees the shopkeeper. And he's got, he had his back turned.
He thinks, He thinks the shopkeeper
right,
is Santa Claus.
He saw a huge red cloak and like white hair that they describe it wild white, like an avalanche. And he was repairing a diamond necklace. So he says, Santa Claus? And the shopkeeper turns around like, where? But it wasn't Santa Claus. And I want to read this description because I like it. Now, of course, this is a quick translation from the Italian, but it says his cloak unfurled, becoming red wings. From his white hair came pointed ears like those of a lynx. From his beard, which was also white, boar tusks arose. His nose was a beak like that of a vulture. And so it turns out that he is Caru, the Etruscan god, who is the guardian and guide of the dead. Now, we don't know, mythologically speaking, we don't know if the Etruscans actually had a name for this god before the Greeks kind of intermingled their culture with him, because the name Caru is kind of taken from the Greek Charon, or Charon, which is, you know, Charon, right?
Charon?
Who also transports the souls of the ferryman.
Yeah.
And so it's very much, he's kind of like the Etruscan equivalent of Charon. We don't know if there's a, if they had a name for him before that Greek culture intermingling, but he's basically their version of Charon, although he looks completely different. So, yeah. Percy says he's looking for a gift for his girlfriend. He asks her, well, what's she like? And he kind of tells her a little bit about her.
He says like that she likes strategies and she's wise.
Exactly.
And
so he takes a gold bracelet that has, it's made of like tiny little keys. He said it was made by Sethlans, who was an Etruscan god of craftsmen. So I guess he would kind of be like an equivalent, a very vague general equivalent of like Hephaestus. And so the keys can open up a lot of things and solve problems. And so Percy's like, I bet this is really expensive. And so Caru actually asks him, well, okay, if you just answer this question, you can have it. Why would ancient gods like me celebrate Christmas? And Nico, of course, doesn't think Percy could answer it because Percy isn't generally known as being the smartest, even though he actually is quite astute. He is pretty wise himself.
I know he's also described in like later books in the Heroes of Olympus as like just obtuse, not like dumb or anything. He like Annabeth actually says or thinks or whatever they say she is or says or whatever that he's not dumb. He's really smart and he's just obtuse. He doesn't pick up
clueless.
On things that most people would pick up.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Clueless.
Yeah, he really is. He doesn't quite pick up on social cues sometimes or obvious things.
Like with Rachel, like with the Annabeth.
Right, exactly.
Rachel,
both of them were drawn
triangle.
To him. Both of them kind of liked him. And he was just like, doopy-doo. Yeah. Well, then Calypso, too, when he's stuck on.
And kind of Reyna. He doesn't really understand like what Reyna's trying to tell him at first.
Right.
And then he understands after a while.
Right. But he is rather intelligent. He just, you know, sometimes he doesn't process things, social cues.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Nico's a little nervous that he's not going to be able to answer this question about why ancient gods would celebrate Christmas. And he says,
Percy answers it.
He says,
spot
and I'll quote this again.
Really good.
Because Christmas is for everyone, it represents hope, especially in perilous times. All of us gods, demigods, mortals must help each other. Let us remain vigilant and optimistic like you watching over the, you know, all the ways back. Because Caru is hoping for the return of his Etruscan god companions. And he's like the last Etruscan god. And for those that don't know, the Etruscans actually were the ones that lived around Rome and Italy. They kind of, when Aeneas, after the Trojan War, called the son of Aphrodite, when he actually escaped Troy and made it to Rome, to Italy, he helped found Rome and things like that. And so he kind of intermixed with the Etruscans, at least mythologically speaking. Of course, then we get Remus and Romulus and all that stuff. But so anyway, that's basically it. So he answers that, yeah, Christmas is for everybody because we all have hope and we all got to be together. And and family. And I mean, it's very much like Vin Diesel from the Fast and the Furious, you know, family. So that's kind of his answer. And Karu buys it. And he's like, yeah, all right, here you go. Take it. Merry Christmas.
Nico's like surprised after that. Like, he didn't think Percy would get that or anything, which was funny. It made me laugh while I was reading it.
Yeah, because he says like impressive or something like that.
Yeah, he says something like that.
Well, and then Percy says, you know, the best gift isn't jewelry or anything like that. It's just friendship, you know, Merry Christmas. And then Nico says, you too, seaweed brain. And then they laugh
they
and
laugh.
Shadow travel back to New York.
Yeah.
The end. So
the
those
end.
Are the two short stories. I just wanted to go over them really quickly. Like I said, this is a bonus episode. Guys, be ready because the Ratty nominations are coming out this week. That's right, on Wednesday. And so you'll have 2 weeks to vote. And then on April 14th, we will have the 4th annual Totally Rad Christmas Awards, the Ratties. Now,
wait, do I get to vote?
You get to vote? Yeah, of course. You sure do. Now,
will I be on there?
No.
Aw.
Because you didn't appear in an episode last season. This is for season 5.
Season 5?
That's right. It's my 5th season. Now, having said that, I'm going to do a little segment I like to call Hit Me With The Toaster. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I want you to hit me with the first answer you can think of, okay?
Oh, no.
So let's say that Luke is Scrooge.
No.
Recast The Ghosts of Christmas with Annabeth, Percy, and Grover.
Okay, what are the Ghosts of Christmas again?
Ghosts of Christmas Past, Ghosts of Christmas Present, Ghosts of Christmas Future.
Okay, I feel like the future would be Annabeth.
Okay.
The Ghost of Christmas Past would be Grover, and I feel like the present would be Percy.
That's what I think too.
Also, like, the only one I can currently think of is like the Mickey Mouse Christmas Carol.
Mickey's Christmas Carol, yeah.
So I'm trying to not go off of that, but if I was like just going off of that, I would switch Grover and Percy.
Right on.
But yeah. Actually, no, I wouldn't.
No, I think you're right. I think Percy out of all of them is the most like happy-go-lucky. So I think he's fits the most with Ghosts of Christmas Present.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Now, wield Riptide better? You know, like, who would use Riptide more successfully? Is it Leonardo from the Ninja Turtles or Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe?
I don't know. I've never really, like, watched or read anything like that. So I'm going to go with Leonardo. I saw, like, the Mutant Mayhem one.
Mm-hmm.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle one.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen any, like, I don't even know what the other one was, like G.I. Joe or whatever. So I'm going to go with the Ninja Turtle one.
Okay.
I know that one more than the other
one. All right. Finally, let's say you're having Christmas with Percy and his friends. What side dish do you bring to dinner?
I would bring blue mac and cheese.
That's perfect. Okay. If you could be if you could play a part in the movies or the TV show, who would you play?
I've never really thought about that. I mean, I have like a couple times, but not a lot. Like, I feel like I would just be either like a background camper or like, I'm not really sure. Like, I once thought that I'd play like one of the people on like Cersei's island, not like Cersei, but like one of the other people that are there.
Mm-hmm.
Or and then there was this other time where I thought like I could or I would or could play.
I think you'd be a good Annabeth.
No,
I do
not. No.
Well, you're scared of spiders, so that's a win.
Okay, fine. Maybe a little. I could play just an excess daughter of Athena.
Okay. I think if I was younger, of course, I'd want to say Percy, but I know I wouldn't be. I'd probably be more like, I don't know.
Grover.
I don't know. I would like to
Grover.
No, I'm not Grover. Stop it.
Grover. Grover. You have to say that because you're Grover. My daughter. Yeah.
No, of course I'd want to be like Zeus or Poseidon, but I'd probably be more like, I don't know, what's that god of agriculture? That's probably who I'd be.
the one who wants to get like Frank into farming.
That's right, the one who wants to get Frank into farming. I can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name either.
Yeah, he's definitely a minor god.
100%.
Anyway, that'd be funny. Okay, and then, you know, G.I. Joe taught us that knowing is half the battle. What do you think the other half is?
Well, I actually looked this question up because I knew you were going to ask me this. So what Google said was that the other half of the battle was like strategy and skill.
Oh, okay.
That's what Google said.
Very now, what I think kind of answer.
Dad, stop. Now, what I think the other half of the battle is eating blue cookies.
There you go. I like that. Well, for me, I think the other half of the battle is just being sassy when faced with the god of war.
Yeah, I also like that.
Or you could also say if knowing's half the battle, the other half is just naming your enemies Bob.
Yeah. There's hold on. There's in the Titan's Curse, there's like a line or two that talks about Christmas, where Percy's like Iris messages Sally, and when he sees her with Paul, like them just talking and stuff, they talk for a bit, and then Sally asks Percy if he's going to if he's going to come home for Christmas or something like that.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
And Percy said, yeah, I have
nice
book
pull
up there.
That's okay.
And Percy like responds like with, you're gonna put like blue candies in my stocking, right? And yeah, it goes something similar to that. I'm not sure if that is exactly what it said. I kind of want to check, but I don't want to at the same time.
That's okay. This is fun. I love Percy Jackson. I really enjoyed the series. No, it's not perfect, you know, but overall I thought it was pretty great.
Yeah. Luckily, they've announced that they're going to do a season 2.
They have announced season 2 is coming. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I'm really excited.
I am too. And what they should do is film season 2 and season 3 back to back so the kids don't get too old too quick.
And season 4 and 5.
And then 4 and 5 back to back. And that would like really get it all done. But
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so on that note, I'm going to say thank you for joining me. And now you are eligible to be nominated for the Ratties season, you know, the fifth annual Ratties when that happens next year. But in the meantime, I'm going to end it by saying Christmas is for everyone, especially in perilous times. All of us must help each other. So check us out on our social media pages, which you can find at linktree.com/totallyradchristmas. And if you're feeling like Percy finding Annabeth the perfect gift, leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us reach more people and spread some rad holiday cheer. Now, don't forget to check out our merch shop on teepublic.com and our super dope website, totallyradchristmas.com. Merry Christmas, my friend. Later, dudes.
Percy, I know you feel powerless, but you're not. You are special. When you're ready to hear what the gods have in store for you, they'll tell you. Welcome, Percy Jackson. We've been expecting you.
So there's also a chapter in The Titan's Curse called I Get a New Enemy for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Percy says, I'd better go, she told me. See you for Christmas? Are you putting blue candy in my stocking? She smiled. If you're not too old for that. I'm never too old for candy. I'll see you then.
Totally Red.